Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord a big clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The theme of our conference is Occupy Till I Come. Occupy Till I Come. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 12 and 13, it reads like this. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Father, I ask in these next few moments as I minister the word, Father, the word that we have read has already been blessed and anointed. But Father, I ask now that you would pour out your anointing upon me as I minister to these people here in this auditorium and also via video. Father, that we would receive a blessing in that which you would have for us tonight. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's so many people concerned about what's going on in the world today. And there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world today. There are some people believe that Jesus is going to come next week. As a matter of fact, there is a group in Korea that has prophesied or projected or whatever that Jesus is going to come on October the 28th. In fact, this is from the National and International Religion Report. A Korean sect led by a teenage boy has said that the world will end in just a few days on October 28th at midnight. Many of the sect members have quit their jobs, sold their homes, abandoned families, or turned over their assets to their churches and leaders as they await the end. Yet, just a little over a week ago, Korean authorities stated that the same young leader was being investigated as he invested huge sums of money in stocks and bonds that would not mature until after his predicted end of the world. Apparently, he doesn't believe his own predictions. Either that or he's very foolish with his investments, one or the other. Yet another radio minister by the name of Harold Camping is also predicting that September 6, 1994 is the probable date the world will end. Yet Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth not no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He is the only one who knows when the end of the world will come. And He has said to us in this story that we just read here in Luke's Gospel that we are to occupy till He comes. Now this group that we've read about that believes the world is going to end on October 28 is not occupying till He comes, because they have abandoned their families. They have quit their jobs. They have wasted their money. Another group predicted this some years ago, and many of the members went out and charged up huge sums on credit cards or did other foolish things because Jesus was going to come, and they did things in abandon. And Jesus did not come when they predicted He would come. And they found themselves facing huge debts. They found themselves in the process of bankruptcy. They found themselves in all kinds of problems because they were not occupying till He comes. Now, what is to occupy? Well, I always like to look words up in the dictionary just to make sure that I know what it says. You know, how many of you ever thought you knew what a word meant? You used that word, and later on, you found out what you thought that word was wasn't what it was. Now, I know in the world today, there's a lot of things that don't mean the same as we thought they meant. You know, bad is good. You know, things like that. I never could understand how bad could be good. You know, somebody walks through and says, "Man, that's really bad. That's terrible." He says, "No, that's good." You know, well, so I looked it up. Well, according to the dictionary, it says this. It says, to occupy is to take possession of, hold or keep in possession, as for use, fill or cover, employ, to traffic. So I decided to check on another word that was similar, and that's occupation. Occupation is the act or state of occupying in business, employment, or in calling. Well, you know, we read in the Old Testament about the children of Israel and how they occupied the promised land. They went in, they took possession of the promised land, they drove out the enemy, and they set up camp and said, we are here to stay. Now, when they conquered Jericho, not everything was hunky-dory. There were still enemies to fight. There were still the enemy to drive out, but they occupied Jericho and they said, we have made our place here. We are going to stay here. You will not drive us out. We are going to possess this which God has given us. And so they occupied it. And the day came that the enemy was vanquished from the land. In fact, a number of years later, Caleb, who was an old man by this time, finally said as the possessions were being given out, I want that mountain up there to be my possession. We have occupied Jericho. We have occupied the promised land. But I want that mountain. One last thing to conquer. Well, my friend, we are living in a world that is now being occupied by the enemy. But one of these days, we are going to resume and regain possession of planet Earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I study back in history, and in particular in the era of World War II, and they had what was known as occupation forces. Now, occupation forces were ones that went in and occupied an area that had been held by the enemy. They might go into a country, and they might only occupy a certain part of that country, and the enemy might be all around them, but they established a foothold in this particular place, and there they based their operations, and from there they branched out until they had vanquished the enemy, just as the children of Israel did. And many of you have studied history, studied about occupation forces and what they did. And sometimes after the battle was over and the war was won, they still had to send in occupation forces to completely conquer the land. We can take a lot of things that we study in history and we can apply them to the Word of God and to the things of God. We, as I said, are living in a land that is right now in possession of the enemy. But God has told us we are to occupy this land, even though the enemy surrounds us, even though he comes against us as it were a flood, we are to occupy that part that God has given us. First of all, we are to occupy the community around us. We as Christians are to establish a beachhead. We are to establish a base of operations and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in our neighborhood, those who are around us, and let them know that Jesus is Lord and that He is our soon coming King. And that in Him we can find salvation. So we are to occupy our neighborhoods. Now, many of us who live in the Los Angeles area, we wonder about occupying our neighborhood because it seems that the enemy has come in and taken it from us. But as Christians, we are to give forth the Word of God. And we may not occupy it in some ways in the physical, but we can begin the spiritual occupation of that area around us and take possession of it for God. Praise God. Too many times we've sat back and said, well, the enemy is strong and he's come against us like a flood and we're going to tuck our tails like a whipped puppy and run down the road and say, devil, it's yours. You whipped me fair and square. Take it. But no, we are to do battle against the enemy. We are to possess the land. We are to occupy. We are to hold fast until Jesus comes. We're in a battle, but the final victory is going to be ours. We will overcome. We are the conquerors. We're on the right side. How many of you always wanted to be on the right side? You know, when I was a kid in school and they were, you know, choosing people for teams, I always wanted to be picked to be on the winning team. Now, I seem to have had a problem because I always ended up being picked to be on the losing team. And I didn't really care too much for that. I got drafted into the Army. Well, I thought I can be in with a group that's going to be the winning group. And so many times I ended up with the group that was the losing group, you know. I hated that. But we're on the winning side. It doesn't matter what comes against us. We're on the winning side. Praise God. But not only are we to occupy that area around us, the Bible tells us we are to spread the gospel to every creature. We're to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. So not only are we to occupy our neighborhoods, we're to outreach in the areas away from where we live. We're to spread the gospel in other areas. You say, Brother Unger, I can't go out and preach the gospel in a foreign land. I can't go to another state to preach the gospel. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You say, well, how can I do it? Maybe you physically cannot go, and maybe you will never leave your neighborhood as far as taking the gospel forth, but you can do it by helping others to spread the gospel. Just as Brother Lauterlitz goes to Mexico and takes the gospel of Jesus Christ, many of us here will never go to Mexico and preach the gospel, but we can help Brother Lauterlitz go to Mexico and preach the gospel and win souls for Jesus Christ. We can help him to occupy that country for Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Unger, you talk about Guyana and the Caribbean Beacon and the areas that you minister in down there. I can't go down there, but you can help us to take the gospel down there via radio and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can help us as we help indigenous pastors and missionaries as they take the gospel to those who are around them and help them to possess and occupy the land. Praise God. That's how we will be the victors. The devil would come against us. He would fight us. But we're the winners. Keep that in mind. We're the winners. We're the victors. Jesus told his disciples that he would return. You know, he told them a lot of things that I don't think it really sunk into them till sometime later. But he told them, I'm going to return. Then at the ascension, as we read about it in Acts, the first chapter, as Jesus ascended into the clouds and they received him out of their sight, two angels also confirmed that he would return again in like manner. Well, he has not come back yet. But one of these days, he's going to come in the clouds of glory. He's going to make that triumphant return. There's no doubt about that. But in the meantime, he has given us, as well as them, instructions, battle plans, if you would like to call it. Maybe you could even call it occupation plans before he left. Mark, the 16th chapter, as we referred to earlier, where he told us to take the gospel to every creature, to go out and spread the gospel, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have a job to do. We have a job to do. Not just the preacher, not just the evangelist, not just the missionary. We all have a job to do for Jesus Christ. Just as occupation forces who occupied a land during and after a war had to have certain jobs assigned to them, had to have certain skills to do the things that they were required to do, God has given us skills and talents to do the things that He has called upon us to do. In Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14, we read, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the five talents went out and traded with the same and made them another five talents. And likewise he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the five talents came and brought another five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that hath received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord, of thy Lord. And then he which hath received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping whereas thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received thine own with usury. What's he telling us here? He is telling us we are to invest, we are to work the talent that he has given us. We are to take that ability that God has given us, and we are to use it for His glory. We are not to set back on our talent and let it go to waste. We are not to hide our talent. We are not to bury our talent in the ground, but we are to go forth using our talent to win souls for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have any talents. God gave to each one of us some ability to do certain things, and we don't all have the same talents. In fact, some of us here tonight may have similar talents one to the other, but yet they're still not quite the same. You've heard a number tonight who could sing, and their talent is music, and they can sing beautifully. Others, as you look at the display, have artistic talent, and they can put together displays. Others have talents in working with people and various other areas, and we are to use those talents for the kingdom of God. And he says he gave them these talents according to their several abilities. This leads me to believe that God only expects of us that which he has given us to do with. It said he gave the one 5 talents, and he went out and he invested the 5 talents. He put it to work. He began to make money with that 5 talents. And when the Lord came back, he had not just 5 talents, but he had 10 talents that he could present unto his Lord. And what did the master say? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in these few things, I will make you Lord over many things. And then comes the next servant who only got 2 talents. Not nearly as much, not even half as much. And he said, my Lord, I took the 2 talents and I put them to work. And now here I have to present to you 4 talents. Still not as much as the first one had. But the master looked at him and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful over a few things, I'll make you Lord over many things. The only one that he had something to say odd against was the one who took the talent that he had and buried it in the earth and did nothing with it. And my friend, there are so many Christians and so many people who claim they're serving God, that are taking their talent and they are wasting it. They're burying it in the earth when we could be doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of occupying till I come. It's part of the occupation, is doing something for the Master, doing that which He has bid us to do. You say, well, what can I do? In some cases, maybe all you can possibly do is pray for somebody. But you know what? That's important. That's important. Because if people wasn't praying for something I can feel, if people weren't praying for His hand extended ministries, if people weren't praying for Family Worship Center, if people weren't praying for a New Life Center, we might be in a great big mess tonight. But because people are praying for us, we're able to go forth and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. So maybe the only thing you can do is pray, and never put a low esteem on only being able to pray, because that may be the most important thing that can be done. In fact, it is the most important thing that can be done for a ministry, is to pray for that ministry. You might say, well, I reach into my pocketbook and all I pull out is some cobwebs. I can't give them money. But if you can pray for them, God can speak to someone who can meet their need financially. And maybe you have other areas you can help a ministry out in. Do whatever God sets before you to do to help that ministry. Occupy. Maybe you can't do it yourself, but someone else can. God will always have someone to do the job. And if you won't do the job, He'll find somebody who will. What happened here with the one that had the 1 talent? It was taken away from him. It was given to the one that had the 10 talents. In fact, it goes on to say that, can't find it here real quick. But anyway, he was cast out. Put out. In fact, that's in the 28th verse. Now, therefore, take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And for And unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be cast away. We don't want to be cast away. We want to be found a good and faithful servant. We want to be found one who is occupied until the master comes. We want to be found one who has been about the master's business. One who has been doing what the master has set before us to do. Oh, some of us don't have as great a talents as others. And I look around sometimes and I look at great ministers of the gospel such as Billy Graham and some of the others. And I look at them and I say, well, you know I'm not Billy Graham. And sometimes I really wouldn't want to be in Billy Graham's shoes. He's got a lot of responsibilities. And I'm not some of these other greats. But I'm trying to do the job that God has set before me to do. And if I do the job that is set before me to do, it may not be the great ministry of Billy Graham or somebody else like that. But God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You've occupied. And one of these days, that's the thing we should all be waiting to hear him say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've occupied, and now I've come. You say, well, maybe he won't come while I'm still alive. Maybe I may go by the way of the grave. Well, that doesn't matter. We'll still hear him say, well done. Well done. How many want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Hallelujah. Let's all stand and begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, today there's so many things going around in this world. So many stresses and so many ways and forms of doctrine that are being spread about. But Father, help us to hold fast to the truth and to the Word of God. And Father, help us to establish a beachhead and to occupy with the truth until you come. And Father, there are many who predict that Jesus will come a certain day or a certain time or a certain hour. But we know, Father, that you have said in your word that Jesus himself doesn't even know. Only you know. But Father, help us to establish ourselves and to occupy and go forth and to invest that which you have given us, our talent, our time, our finance, whatever it is, Father, that you have given us to invest in the spreading of your gospel. Father, help us to be overcomers. Help us to be a part of a mighty occupying force that will let the world know that Jesus is still alive and he still saves today. We praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you've been listening today and you've been touched by this message, Occupy Till I Come, recorded in 1992, and many of the things that we spoke about in that message seems like they were just ripped from the headlines yesterday or a few days ago, because we still hear some of those same things. And we look around and so many times people are not occupying till the Lord comes. And maybe you're listening to me today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is the day. And you say, why today? You said this in 1992, people were saying Jesus was about to come. And here it is. 2017, and he still hasn't come. But you know what, my friend? He's a whole lot closer to coming now than he was then. And yes, I know there are those that are saying he could come at any moment, and that's true. But they're setting dates and saying he's going to come on such and such day. My friend, the Bible tells us not to do that, but it does tell us he's coming in a day when we least think he's going to come. He does tell us he's going to come like the thief in the night. The thief doesn't come when he announces, rings your doorbell and says, hi, I'm here to steal from you. No, he sneaks in when you're least aware. And Jesus is going to come when we're least expecting. So the time to be ready for Jesus to come is now, not later. Because when that trumpet sounds, it's too late. It's too late. You can't say when you've heard that trumpet sounded, "I'll repent now," because it'll be over with before you can even get the words out of your mouth. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, won't you do it today? It's so easy. Just say, "Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need you in my life. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart today. Cleanse me from the sin that is in my life. And Father, help me to be ready when Jesus comes." And if you've asked him into your heart, you've asked him into your life, and you've in sincerity meant that, he's come in. He'll be there. He'll dwell with you. He'll live with you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. And he'll be the best friend you could ever have. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We ask now your blessings upon those today, some who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We thank you, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.